Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Our passage this afternoon mentions the kingdom of God, and so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 13. Please turn there. Matthew 13, we get a description through parables as to what the kingdom of God is like. So we're just going to read a few select parables. Verse 31 is where we'll begin. This is the word of God. Another parable, he, that is Jesus, put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of God, of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Now we're going to jump ahead to verse 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man came and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." So far is our scripture reading. Now, we also turn to Matthew chapter 4. So we're looking at the Beatitudes, and that is Matthew chapter 5. So this is just the preceding text. Beginning at verse 23. "If anyone has ears, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you used, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has to him, more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away." Sorry, I've made a mistake, brothers and sisters. It's Matthew chapter 4. I was reading Mark. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. This makes a lot more sense. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-oppressed or possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" That is our text. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Declaration of Independence, the American Declaration of Independence, says that every individual has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, how often do we think and ask the question, what is happiness? What is happiness? Now, the world has defined happiness as prosperity, having lots of things, whether it's a nice house, some land, a nice car, the latest iPhone. This is what happiness looks like. It's equivalent with prosperity. And we can point fingers and say, well, that's the way that the world defines happiness. But so often, isn't it true that we start to adopt these ideas of happiness? Then we read something like Matthew chapter 5. Don't these words just fly in the face of everything we know? It's not the ones who are prosperous, the ones who have a nice plot of land, and the celebrities and the movie stars who are blessed. No, it is blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, the mourning, the persecuted. This is not the picture of happiness in which we would expect. The Christian is to be poor and lowly. And this can be a bit disheartening at first. We know of the many Psalms where David looks out and says, and even wonders, why is it that the wicked prosper? We can feel minimized. Yet there are riches that we have that far surpass all of the prosperity that this world has to offer. This is the teaching that Jesus brings to us in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The good news, brothers and sisters, that I announce today is rich are the poor. Rich are the poor. First, we're going to look at the word poor in spirit, what that means. And then we're going to see how we are indeed rich in Jesus Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Who are the poor in spirit? Well, we get a hint of that if we look at the sermon that Jesus preached in Luke. There we see the same body of teaching, except there is a slightly differences in the words. Instead of saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus says, blessed are the poor. And we might wonder, is there a contradiction taking place? But no, what's really happening is that there is a connection between being poor, that is being physically impoverished, and being poor in spirit. Now we know God has always had a concern for the poor. Think of Psalm 34, which we just sung. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Psalm 35, O Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor? It is the poor that are blessed. It is the poor who God's favor rests upon. Now, what is the connection between being physically poor and being poor in spirit? Well, let's just focus on physically poor. To be physically poor, I'm sure I don't need to say this, but to be physically poor is to lack. It's not just money. We often think in monetary value, but it's also to lack resources, to lack anything that you could trade with, to lack any currency. There is nothing that you can do in order to trade to someone else to make your life better. So just to get by physically, a truly poor person must completely depend on other people. That's what it is to be poor. We had to think of the widows in the Old Testament who just to get food would have to go into the field and pluck grain with their hands. We had to think of the people in Hamilton who, maybe you've seen them on the side of the road, ask for money or hold signs. Maybe you know what it's like to be poor. You've been there before. That word poor, originally, it used to just mean beggar before Jesus' time. When Jesus came along, well, that word was more inclusive of all different kinds of people. But that's the image we want to be keeping in mind. To be poor is to be a beggar. A beggar is what it means to be poor. It's the face of being poor for all times and all places. Now we've seen what it means to be poor, to lack, and we need to apply that now inwardly. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. Now, spirit can be used in many different ways throughout the Bible, but here it's just referring to the inner self, the attitude or posture someone might have. Basically, do you have a beggar's outlook on life? To be poor in spirit is to have the soul of a poor person, a beggar's heart, just to get by. You have to depend not just on others physically, but you have to depend on God. It's an attitude. I cannot do it by myself. There is nothing that I bring to the table. That's what it is to be poor in spirit. And this is spoken positively in our text, and this might make us think, well, doesn't God want us to be independent? We value that, right? Independence. We think that God would, surely he would look upon someone who has something to offer, some kind of wealth, some kind of status. Surely God would want you to come here and have a few good deeds in your bank, a nice clean past, some kind of currency you can trade with, some kind of maybe special knowledge or insight. And then God says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You need to live by the hand of God. In fact, brothers and sisters, God may even make us poor, physically poor, for a season in order to foster the attitude within us, to give us that beggar's outlook. See, as much as the world has said that it is good to have prosperity and independence, well, he says that the one who is blessed is the one who depends on God. He wants us to be dependent upon him. He may make you physically poor in order to teach you that. After all, Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness before they entered the promised land. The godly heart is the needy heart, the heart that needs God. When we look unto heaven every morning and say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. I need you. Everything I have is from God. I come to God empty-handed, depending on him. For it is such a person who God is near to. He is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. Jesus Christ, he began his ministry teaching this. This would set the tone of his whole ministry. He goes into the synagogue, he unrolls the scroll of Isaiah, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Where was Jesus Christ before the Sermon on the Mount? We just read it. Was he with the wealthy? Was he with the celebrities? He was healing the lame and the sick. Matthew 11 says that Jesus says, the poor have good news preached to them. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, this is just flies in the face of what we know, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? It doesn't make sense to us that God, in his wisdom, would not choose those who are of noble birth, says the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, but the foolish to shame the wise, the weak, not the strong. And brothers and sisters, we need to be reminded of this. How often are we trying to build our wealth here to earn some kind of currency, to become pleasing to God using our own works, thinking of something that we can give to God, whether it's just the mindset of always being looking after the next thing, trying to set up a nice life for yourself, increasing in wealth, working hard, yes, that's good. But not when the things of the kingdom slide into the background. Sometimes we can do good things, good kingdom work, but it's not for the right reasons. It's not for the love of God, but for the gain of praise. And brothers and sisters, we need to be reminded this is not what God wants. He does not accept me because I have some kind of currency to offer him. He's not after me because I have it all together. He's not need the strong. He does not need the one who can pull himself up by the bootstraps. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It's the one who comes each day to God on his knees and says, I'm not good enough. I don't have anything to offer you. Here, look at my failures and have mercy upon me, a sinner. So what are you striving for, brothers and sisters? What are the treasures that you are trying to build? Are you trying to build something here? Maybe it's, I'm going to try to become the most spiritual person I know. If you want to identify in the way that you might be tempted to build treasures here, ask yourself the question, what is it that I do? How is it when I find myself, do I catch myself boasting in some of my own achievements? What do I find myself boasting about? And there often we can find our temptation. Are we building treasures here on this earth? Or are we trying to make it obvious to others? No, I'm not living a fleshy life. I don't care about the things of this world. Do you want others to say, that man, that woman is poor in spirit? He lives by the hand of God. Is it your desire in your heart that others would say about you, yeah, I know James, I know John. Yeah, he's not the strongest person I've ever met, but he's poor in spirit. He relies on his heavenly Father. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now we need to take on this attitude. And it is a humbling thing to look to God, to live by the hand of God, to be needy and poor. Yet, on the one hand, while we may be needy and poor, it's not the final verdict for our lives. God pronounces us that we are in fact rich, rich in our Lord Jesus Christ. See, our text says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Happy are the poor. How can Jesus say this? And the reason he offers it, it's in verse 3, because theirs is the kingdom. Now, we often think of the gospel, and the first thing our mind goes to is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we think, yeah, Jesus died for my sins. And that's good when we hear the gospel to think of those truths. But so often we forget that kingdom was a central and important part of the gospel. Jesus Christ, he began his ministry saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. These things go hand in hand. And the kingdom of God is a concept that goes back to the Old Testament. The kingdom of God, we see in David's time, that was a kingdom, a physical kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. David is the king. Israel is kicked out of the land. And maybe we might ask, then what happens to the kingdom then? Is the kingdom still there? Or was the kingdom just an Israelite thing? Well, we read in the prophets that the kingdom moves toward the future. It becomes future word. Isaiah and Jeremiah, they spoke of the kingdom, the prophets spoke of the kingdom, as something future. God's people yearned for this future reality. It was a reality when God would come down, he would dwell with his people, he would be the king. That's the king. Every kingdom needs a king. And he would make his riches flow out in streams, abundantly blessing his people. Now you can imagine, just imagine you're an exile. Just imagine that you're a Jew and the Romans occupy your land. Can you imagine? Your heart just aches for this king. It aches for this kingdom, that the hope that one day, yes, God, he would bless. And then you hear about Jesus Christ. You hear about his sermon, and he says in that sermon, yours is the kingdom. That's life-altering. You mean to say that Jesus Christ is now handing out the blessings of the kingdom, like right now? That this is the year of the Lord's favor, Isaiah 61? That Isaiah 57, God would revive the spirit, revive those, the lowly, and revive the heart of the contrite? This is something groundbreaking. The kingdom is at hand. Why? Because the king has arrived. The king stands before you, and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, it's not just amazing that the kingdom arrived when Jesus Christ was here, but the true blessing of our text is that you're part of it. Theirs is the kingdom. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're transferred from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son, Colossians 1. Already now, each of you Christians are under the King's rule, his word and spirit. You've received citizenship in the kingdom, passport stamped by Jesus Christ, stamped by his blood, and you're a member of the kingdom of heaven. Christ has brought you in. And anyone who looks to him in faith, blessings already begin to trickle down from the King like streams into each one of our souls. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has blessed us. You're part of it now, already. You have the blessings, forgiveness of sins, life everlasting. You have the things in which angels long to look. You know, to be poor in spirit is to have such abundant blessing. It's like to be invited to the greatest feast you could ever know. It is to have the greatest riches that no eye has seen nor heart imagined. Is to have the inheritance of a city made from gold, and your name is engraved on the stones. Now, how sad, brothers and sisters, how sad would it be if we did not realize our inheritance and we thought we could put our trust in treasures on this earth? How sad would it be to walk away from Jesus Christ like the rich young ruler who thought his treasures were great on this earth. They're but measly riches. The kingdom of God is worth all that we have. Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. It's worth all you have. Let's close by seeing the generosity of our King, Jesus Christ. See, we were rebels. We had ruined the kingdom. We took God's good kingdom, we shattered it, we ruined its goodness, And so one day the king, he comes riding and he confronts us. We're surrounded. He should destroy us. Yet the king, he looks at us in pity and he says, "Will you be my son? Yes, you should pay for your crimes, but will you take your rags off? Will you let me wash the dirt off you? And will you take my glorious robes?" And the king steps off his horse and he takes off his crown and he places it on our head. He sets aside his riches and he becomes poor so that we could become rich. This is what Jesus Christ has done for us. He became poor, setting aside the glory in which he had in the beginning, taking the form of a servant, Philippians 2. He was poor, born in humility, born amongst the animals in a stable. He's familiar with homelessness, dislocation. He was like the widow plucking grains from the field. The Son of Man had no place to lay his head. And if you want to see the greatest moment of poverty in the whole Bible, look at the cross. There we see a man with absolutely nothing, not even his clothes. A poor-spirited, needy person who relied on his Father, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." All this so that you could become rich. It costs nothing less than the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to purchase our citizenship, to bring us from the bondage of darkness into the marvelous light. This is the generous heart of our King. He was poor, so you could become rich. Brothers and sisters, will you trust this King with your all? Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You may be poor in spirit. You may have many failures. Maybe you know that you're poor and needy. You know you're poor in spirit because you fall in sin time and time again. And you have to come to the Father and ask for his mercy. Maybe you look at your rags and you're disgusted with yourself. How could I have done that again? We may be considered, maybe we're considered weak in the eyes of the world. We look like a Lazarus begging at the gate with only dogs to lick our wounds. Yet he calls you. He calls me. He calls us with empty hands to trust in him, to partake of his riches. We have access to his riches by faith. We had a marvel in the generosity of our great King. And he says to us, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." Isaiah 55. O poor brothers and sisters, you are kings and queens in Jesus Christ. You have a place at the table of the Lord. Let's come to him in faith. Let's believe this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Lord, you have lavished us with riches beyond our comprehension. How could you take us rebels, us sinners, and give us so many gifts and blessings? We cannot imagine your love towards us, your generous heart. Thank you for your goodwill to men. And Lord, we pray that we may just marvel at you, that we may be so overwhelmed by your generosity that when the temptations of this world come, when the worldly pleasures seek to tempt us and let us fall and entice us, we pray that we may look to you and say, "No, we have all that we need in our Lord Jesus Christ. He has provided for us body and soul. and he has given us every spiritual blessing. Thank you that we are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.